Уже вечір вечоріє, повстанське серце б'є, а лента на бої поспішно подає. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай, країнський повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай, країнський повстанче, в бою не відступай. А ворог атакує і приться щосил, юнак кулеметник їх правно косив. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Як сонце сходило, втомлений юнак, упав він ранений, упав він навзнак. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. До нього санітарка поспішно йде, в обличчя вдивляєсь, його пізнає. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Пече в грудях рана, біля кулемета дівчина молода. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. А ворог атакує в останній момент, на ново заграв вже затихлий кулемет. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай.
And Taras Chubai with the Kozak System and an updated version of an old Upa tune, Lenta za Lentoyu. And that is all about ammunition and a very common topic during a war. Добрий вечір і вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною сьогодні ввечері. Якщо зараз сідаєте до вечері, бажаю вам смачного і знову дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступного дня. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm Павліна, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. Just back from nice vacation in the sun, Mexico and Palm Springs, but glad to be back home. Didn't miss too much bad weather here. Almost ashamed to have gone away, but at any rate, it was a great vacation, and I am glad to be back home. We've got a great program lined up for you. We've got Ukrainian Jewish heritage that will be talking about the roots of klezmer music as well. Another blast from the past with Vasil Pavlovsky. He's got a cultural capsule. He'll be talking about the Ukrainian Gutenberg in case you've forgotten that story, he'll refresh your memory. As well, we've got a news capsule courtesy Ukraine Today, so stay tuned for all of that as well. Our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is another song from YouTube, and this is a single release. It is by an artist by the name of Serhii Faifura, and the song is Dajte Volyu Nadii, and that, of course, means free Savchenko. And if you are a social media person and you've got a Twitter account, please make sure to take part in the Twitter storm tomorrow. And tomorrow, March 1st, has been declared Nadia Savchenko Day. Here he is now, Serhii Faifura and Dajte Volyu Nadii.
Thanks to the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for over 50 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing arts and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in Canada, which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Hollis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, visit ShevchenkoFoundation.com.
For the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can give a destitute family in Ukraine food, hope, and a better life. Please open your heart and share your good fortune. Sponsor a Ukrainian child today. Details at www.heart.ca. That's HART.ca.
Hi, I'm Vincent Rees from Edmonton's Cobblestone Freeway Cultural Tours with exciting news. Our 2015 tours are up and ready to go. Join us for a unique cultural tour. We have trips to Eastern Europe, including Western Ukraine, Hungary, and Croatia. Plus, we're going to Costa Rica, Brazil, and Argentina. So visit our website for photos and details. Cobblestone Freeway, we're in Edmonton and ready to go. So book today. Visit cobblestonefreeway.ca.
St. Pavlovsky, and this is Cultural Capsule, especially for Nash Hollis. There are so many things that we take for granted today. This is even stronger as a younger generation has become extremely digitized. There are even actual debates about dropping cursive writing as a basic skill in schools. For centuries, both in the West and Slavic worlds, so much of what we know of the past was passed down to us by way of the written word. Then, in the mid-1400s, along came a fellow with quite a long name, who most of us know by the name of Johannes Gutenberg, who changed all that. The innovative technology of movable type eventually made its way to the Slavic world, and is attributed to a man who studied at the Jagiellonian University in Krakow and received his baccalaureate in 1532. Prior to arriving in Lviv in 1572, he had been in the city of Zabludów, which is now contemporary northeastern Poland. Yet what had brought him to that place, and why was he at this point in Lviv? Some say that the new technology introduced while in Moscow may have been a threat to the business interests of the Moscovite aristocrats. When his print shop was set ablaze, he and his business partner fled to Zabludov. There, under the patronage of Grand Hetman of Lithuania, Rihori Khutkevich, he worked as a book printer. While in Zabludov, he changed his name from Johannes Theodori Moskus to Ivan Fedorovich. Upon the death of his benefactor in 1572, he traveled to Lviv. 2 years later, he printed the first apostle at the St. Onufrius Monastery, located at what is now 36 Bohdana Khmelnytsky Street in current-day Lviv. In the afterword of this publication, he wrote about his printing experiences in Moscow. In May of 1574, Fedorovich was hired by Knyaz Ostrovsky to relocate to Ostiv, where he would undertake the printing of Ukraine's first complete Bible. Though due to the long editorial processes, the first copy of what became known as the Ostrovska Biblia, or the Ostriv Bible, only came off of Fedorovich's press on August 12, 1581. It comprised of 682 sheets of paper, or 1,256 pages. Fedorovich sold a couple hundred copies of the Bible in Lviv, and after a falling out with his employer in 1582, he returned to Lviv. During the last 2 years of his life, he traveled, visiting Krakow and Vienna. He died on December 15, 1583, and is buried at the St. Onufrius Monastery. I'm Vasily Pavlovsky, and this week's cultural capsule featured Ivan Fedorovich, Ukraine's Gutenberg.
From Toronto, that was the Canadian Bandurist Capella from their first CD recording and a song from the World War I era of the Sichovi Sirilci. That was Hey Vedno Selo, A Village is in Sight. And before Vassel, you heard Jason Chernoboy from Steinbach, Manitoba, from his CD By Tradition, and an old, wonderful, traditional, one of my favorite folk songs, Ishumet Ihudeh. Coming up next is a group called Troia Zilia, which means three herbs, and I had the good fortune to meet these wonderful musicians when I was in Ukraine last fall. Here they are now with a traditional Ukrainian folk song, much beloved, Tijemina Pidmanula.
Казала понеділок, підем разом по пермінок, я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума зрозу звела, ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума зрозу звела. Ти казала у вівторок, поцілуєш радів сорок, я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела. Ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела. Ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела. Ти казала у середу, поженем разом череду, я прийшов, тебе нема. Підманула, підвела, ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела, ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела. Ти казала у четвер, підем разом на концерт, я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела, ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела. Ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела, ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела. Ти казала у п'ятницю, підемо разом по сониці, я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела, ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела. У суботу підем разом на роботу, я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела, ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела, ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела. Ти казала у неділю, підем разом на весілля, я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела, ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела, ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела, ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела, ти ж мене молодого з ума розуму звела.
And now, Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, hosted by Renata Hananets, in cooperation with the Jewish Heritage Museum in Lviv, Ukraine. This special Nash Holos feature is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario.
Welcome to this week's look at Ukraine's Jewish heritage. Klezmer is a traditional Jewish, non-liturgical music with roots in Galicia. Like other folk traditions, klezmer music was passed down from generation to generation. Initially, klezmer was performed at weddings because structurally it corresponds to traditional Jewish marital rites. The actual term klezmer music was coined by a Soviet musicologist in the late 1930s. It gained popularity in the West in the 1980s. One of Galicia's few klezmer musicians to survive the Holocaust was Leopold Kozlovsky. Known as the last klezmer of Galicia, he is a passionate promoter of klezmer. Now he lives in Kharkiv, Poland, where he teaches klezmer to non-Jewish students. Leopold Kozlovsky comes from a long line of klezmerim. His grandfather, Pesach Brandwein, together with his 12 musical sons, founded the most famous klezmer band in Galicia. One of Leopold's uncles is clarinetist Naftul Brandwein, regarded in America as the king of klezmer. In 1918, Leopold Kozlowski was born in the Polish town of Peremyślany, near Lviv. Due to the shifting borders of the war years, it is now located in Ukraine. Before the Second World War, half of Peremyślany's 7,000 inhabitants were Jews. In September 1939, Poland was divided between Germany and Russia, and the town became part of Soviet Ukraine. By 1941, the town's population had nearly doubled, as Jews fled there to escape the Nazis. In July of 1941, the German army arrived in Peremyślany. Within 4 months, several labor camps stood nearby, and the slaughter of the town's Jews had begun. In May 1943, less than 2 years later, Peremyślany was declared Judenfrei, cleansed of Jews. When the Nazis came, Kozlowski fled east, along with his father and brother. His mother stayed behind. She believed that Nazis would not harm women. The men got as far as Kiev. The SS discovered them hiding in a cemetery in the outskirts of the city. They were freed after Kozlowski's father, Zvi, asked the SS if they could play something before getting shot. As they played, Leopold recalls watching the Nazis' rifles lower bit by bit with the music. The Kozlowskis returned to Peremyślany, where Zvi was shot along with 360 other Jews. Leopold's mother and brother were murdered soon after. Leopold spent several months in Nazi labor camps. In one, he taught a Nazi officer the accordion in exchange for food. In another, the Nazis forced him to compose a death tango and to play it while other Jews were led to their deaths. After the war, Leopold Kozlowski studied music and graduated from the Lviv Conservatory and Kharkiv's Musical Academy. He settled in Kharkiv, where he became a leading musical figure in Poland. He conducted a military orchestra and established a world-renowned Roma and Jewish musical ensemble. He also directed the Jewish Theater in Warsaw, composed music for stage and screen, and edited the Polish version of Fiddler on the Roof. Leopold Kozlowski is well known and revered in the North American entertainment industry. He performed with Itzhak Perelman in the film In the Fiddler's House and even appeared in Schindler's List in the role of an advisor. He continues to perform and intends to keep playing until his last moment. Music, he says, is his life and his revenge. In 1994, American klezmer musician and filmmaker Yale Strom released a film documenting Kozlowski's first trip back to Peremyślany since 1945. The title of the film is The Last Klezmer, Leopold Kozlowski, His Life and Music, and it is on YouTube. This is Renata Hananets at the Faina Petrikova Scientific Center for Judaica and Jewish Art in Lviv, Ukraine. Until next time, shalom.
Thank you, Renata. Щиро дякую. Join us again next week for another episode of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative. Слухайте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння на багатомовній радіостанції АМ-1320 у місті Ванкувері. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio on AM-1320 CHMB Vancouver. Up next is a group from New York that is taking the states by storm and actually the internet as well. I found this particular group on Facebook and went and got this wonderful tune that they performed live in 2009 in Los Angeles. And this is a klezmer group that is very much supportive of Ukraine right now and
unbeknownst to me, they had actually been supportive for quite a while. Going back to 2009, here they are now with a song called Train Across Ukraine. Golem from New York City.
Traveler in third class. Ich bin ein Reisender, dritte Klasse. Mein Name ist Sholem Alechem. Sanyate, frequent mir. Dem Reisender, dritte Klasse. The things I've seen and in between. 11 months of the year. On the road with you, my dear. Girls in white, men in black. Dogs and cats, brass and tack. Golden teeth, crooked track. Then I take the train right back. My name is Hello, how are you? Is this seat taken, you may ask, of the traveler in third class. Ich bin ein Reisender, dritte Klasse. Mein Name ist Sholem Alechem. Sanyate, frech mit mir, dem Reisender, dritte Klasse. Through fields of grain, in snow and rain. 11 months of the year, in the train across Ukraine. Girls in black, men in white, children yell, women fight. Golden dreams, dimming light, then I take the train all night. My name is Sholem Alechem. Is this he taken? You may ask of the traveler in third class. Ich bin ein Reisender, dritte Klasse. Mein Name ist Hello, how are you? Sanyate, frech mit mir, dem Reisender, dritte Klasse. The things I've seen and in between. 11 months of the year, on the road with you, my dear. Through fields of grain and snow and rain. 11 months of the year, in the train across Ukraine. In the train across Ukraine, in the train across Ukraine.
Now the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today. Ukrainian intelligence confirms that the terrorist attack in Kharkiv was organized by Russian agents.
Ukraine's security service head Valentin Nalavaychenko says a terrorist attack in Kharkiv that occurred on February 22nd was organized and financed by Russia's main intelligence directorate. 11 suspects have testified that they received weapons for the attack in the Russian city of Belgorod from two Russian special service agents. One of the suspects was a Berkut policeman who took part in confrontations with Euromaidan protesters in Kyiv last year. One of those arrested spoke about the explosives he detonated. The mine was installed at an angle, so the first rows of people would be injured to the most. According to the information I had, volunteer battalions and members of nationalist organizations were in the first row and targeted. People started, and I detonated the mine. The suspects say they were in line to receive a reward of $10,000 from Russian special service agents.
President Poroshenko has confirmed the withdrawal of Ukrainian troops in compliance with the latest ceasefire deal.
President Petro Poroshenko has confirmed Ukraine is pulling heavy weaponry from the front line after days of relative calm. He warned, though, that Russia's military is a long-term threat to Ukraine and that its soldiers are prepared to fight if militants violate the latest Minsk ceasefire deal. His remarks during a tour of Kiev's National Defense University came hours before Ukraine's military announced three servicemen had been killed over the preceding 24 hours, denting hopes peace will be maintained. Even under the most optimistic scenario in the Donbass, even in the case of a long truce which might transform into a political solution and a stable peace, the military threat in the east, unfortunately, remains urgent and will need constant efforts to strengthen the defense capability of the country. But could the latest lull in fighting be the calm before the storm? Ukraine's military says there's evidence militants, backed by regular Russian units, are regrouping and could be preparing for an assault on the coastal city of Mariupol, a city needed by insurgents to make a viable breakaway republic. According to the intelligence data, under the cover of withdrawal of heavy weapons, Russian terrorist groups are conducting actions on redeployment and rotation, strengthening of defensive lines, build-up of forces, and strengthening of positions for intelligence operations near the front line. Convoys of Ukrainian military trucks and tanks flying the Ukrainian flag are pulling back towards Artemivsk, a government-controlled town some 30 kilometers away from Debaltseve. Observers from Europe's OSCE monitoring organization take notes of the military equipment parked at the side of the road. They say the time span of their operation is not possible to estimate just yet.
No, we don't know how long it's going to take. We cannot speculate at this moment, but we are here since the morning. We are ready to stay if it takes longer, and we hope to see more withdrawal of weapons in the following days as well.
The soldiers sit, waiting at the side of the road, hopeful for the future. We hope that the war will be over soon, that everybody will live in peace, and everything will be fine for everybody.
Ukrainian soldiers and locals in eastern Ukraine are skeptical of the ceasefire deal.
Ukrainian soldiers and local residents near the Ukrainian port city of Mariupol say they don't believe the ceasefire will hold and think Russian-backed militants won't withdraw their weapons, but instead they'll just relocate their troops. This woman says she lost her two little children in the conflict in autumn and now doesn't have any hope for a ceasefire. My daughter died instantly. She didn't even have time to be frightened. She lost half of her lung. My son was at home and his leg was damaged. He died because of shock and blood loss. Almost 1,000 residents used to live in the village of Lebedinske. Soldiers say although only about 100 locals remain, the situation in Lebedinske is still better than in the neighboring village of Shirokine. There is no water or electricity in Lebedinske. Local resident Halina says some 3 days ago Russian-backed militants stopped shelling the area. The situation was awful. You can see windows are broken, houses are damaged everywhere. What did Putin do to us? He got in here everywhere. Ukrainian soldiers say militants won't retreat. We don't see them withdrawing weapons. They still have their weapons. It's become silent here, but I don't know why. Ukrainian soldiers of the Krivbas battalion, which is located near Lebedinske, say although they don't believe in a ceasefire deal, they hope for a lasting peace in Ukraine.
Murdered Russian opposition leader Boris Nemtsov had proof of Russia's role in the Ukraine conflict.
Boris Nemtsov was killed because he planned to disclose evidence of Russia's support of militants in eastern Ukraine. Those comments came from Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, who says the Russian opposition politician told him he had proof of Russia's involvement in Ukraine and planned to go public. Boris declared that he would reveal persuasive evidence about the involvement of Russian armed forces in Ukraine. Someone was very afraid of this. Boris was not afraid. The hangmen and executioners were afraid. They killed him. Poroshenko was speaking at a meeting with officials at the central Ukrainian city of Vinnytsia, where he paid tribute to Nemtsov, a fierce critic of President Vladimir Putin. Boris Nemtsov was killed. He was a great friend of Ukraine and a great patriot of Russia. He was a person who, like a bridge, connected Ukraine and Russia, and who built those relations between Ukraine and Russia, relations which I would like to see. Ukrainian Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk also remembered Nemtsov in a Facebook post, writing, "He was a patriot of Russia and at the same time a great friend of Ukraine. This was and this is what will remain in our memory of Boris Nemtsov. Rest in peace." Residents of Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, also remembered the Russian opposition leader with a small makeshift memorial. Some people held a sign reading, "Putin killed our friend," a sign that represented the general attitude at the memorial.
A former member of parliament and Yanukovych supporter has died under mysterious circumstances.
Former deputy of the Party of Regions, Mykhailo Chechetov, has reportedly died in Kyiv. Ukrainian media have said that Chechetov, a vocal supporter of disgraced former President Viktor Yanukovych, fell or jumped from his high-rise apartment building in Kyiv. Ukrainian prosecutors this week indicted the former lawmaker for several alleged crimes before setting him free on bail.
Ukrainian pilot Nadia Savchenko rejects calls to stop her hunger strike against her illegal imprisonment by Russia.
A member of the Kremlin's Rights Group Council has said on Friday that Nadia Savchenko, a Ukrainian pilot on a hunger strike in a Russian prison, could die within days. Yelena Masuk has said that the health of the 33-year-old Ukrainian fighter pilot has sharply deteriorated. Savchenko went on a hunger strike on December 13th, and for the past 2 weeks, she has also refused to be administered glucose drips. As Savchenko's health deteriorates, the European Parliament has proposed to introduce a Savchenko list. This is similar to the U.S.'s Magnitsky list, which chronicles the penalties for people involved in the murder of Sergei Magnitsky, a Russian lawyer who died in a Moscow prison after investigating fraud involving Russian tax officials. Despite calls from leaders, politicians, activists, and even her mother, Savchenko continues her hunger strike. A recent call by Crimean Tatar leader Mustafa Jamilov has also been rejected by the Ukrainian pilot. In a letter published by her lawyer, she says, "I've not been on a hunger strike for so long, but I will stay on it as long as necessary so that my people have the right to be Ukrainians in Ukrainian lands." Jamilov has appealed to her, saying, quote, "Daughter, there is no sense in continuing the hunger strike. Russia is not a country where humane principles exist." The 71-year-old former Soviet dissident was force-fed during a 303-day hunger strike, which is the longest in the history of Soviet human rights movements. Savchenko, hailed as a hero in Ukraine, has been accused of involvement in the deaths of two Russian journalists killed during a military conflict in eastern Ukraine.
More details on the deal Ukraine recently signed with the United Arab Emirates.
The United Arab Emirates Ministry of Foreign Affairs has stated that the cooperation agreement signed with Ukraine earlier this week, quote, "does not include any arms deals." UAE Ambassador Faris Al-Mazrui, Assistant Foreign Minister for Security and Military Affairs, said that the deal signed during a visit to the UAE by Petro Poroshenko is, quote, "part of a future cooperation framework between the two countries." On February 24th, Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko has said at Abu Dhabi's International Defense Exhibition and Conference that he hopes Ukraine will obtain additional, quote, "defensive weapons" with the new deal, although he didn't specify what kind of weapons Ukraine would buy from UAE. Western countries, including the United States, have been reluctant to provide Ukraine with lethal military equipment, in its battle against Kremlin-backed militants over fears any such deal would anger Russia.
A look at the plight of Crimean Tatars a year after Russian annexation and occupation of the Ukrainian peninsula.
A year since the beginning of Russia's takeover of Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula, and the ethnic Crimean Tatar minority has found themselves fearful of the region's new rulers. Western leaders and human rights organizations have said that Crimean Tatars, which make about 10% of the peninsula's population, have faced discrimination, pressure, and abuse from the Kremlin-backed authorities. The Kremlin has ignored reports of violence and harassment toward Crimean Tatars, including searches of homes and schools. The Muslim minority group's governing body, the Mejlis, has been shut down and sealed off, with its key members banned from entering the Black Sea Peninsula. Just last month, Russian authorities reportedly detained a deputy chairman of the Crimean Tatar Mejlis on suspicion of organizing, quote, mass disorder in Simferopol last year. Also, the leader of the Crimean Tatars has been banned from entering the Black Sea Peninsula by Russia. A court in Moscow blocked 71-year-old Mustafa Jamilov from the Russian-occupied territory for 5 years to, quote, ensure state security and safeguard public order, according to the Kharkiv Human Rights Group. In January, Russia's FSB security service raided the offices of Crimean Tatar TV channel ATR in Simferopol. Russia's Federal Investigative Committee justified the assault by saying it was part of an investigation into the deaths of two local residents about a year ago. Files and personal data were taken by police. Hundreds gathered outside the TV broadcaster in protest of the raid. Since Russia took control of Crimea, Russian authorities have also banned many Tatar community demonstrations.
Ukrainian celebrities and media leaders joined forces for social change.
A group of well-known Ukrainian show business personalities, media figures, and activists have this week launched a new social initiative dubbed 21st of November in honor of the date in 2013 when Ukraine's Euromaidan protests first began. The initiative is one of a number seeking to harness the activism of the Euromaidan movement in order to bring sustainable change to Ukrainian society. At the official launch, 21st of November, representatives unveiled a number of projects. Activist Valery Pekar outlined the thinking behind one of the group's initial projects, entitled Ukraine's New Mythology. In order to win the war, we need to generate new national narratives about Ukraine. These narratives should reflect our real-life experience. The high-profile members of the 21st of November initiative can serve as the shock troops in this process. Other initiatives include the creation of a state-of-the-art eco-park in the Ukrainian capital, featuring free internet access, which is scheduled to be unveiled in time for annual Kiev Day celebrations in late May.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup. For more breaking stories on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog at uatoday.tv.
Протекла, мов кров з ножа. По степу томка межа, ліворуч битва, а справа бій, чигає смерть у далі голубі. Ми йдемо, одна сім'я, 100 бійців, і з ними я. На 100 бійців один наказ. День за днем, хто знає де, був наказ, і сотня йде. Крізь вогонь і куль політ, крізь вугілля і крізь граніт. Ми йдемо, одна сім'я, 100 бійців, і з ними я. Ідень за днем, заразом раз, на 100 бійців один наказ.
Because the